Today, inshallah ta'ala, my intention is to share with you some reflections from one particular ayah of Surah Al-Ahzab. This is the 33rd surah of the Quran. And this one ayah is towards the end of the surah. It's the 70th ayah of the surah. But in order to introduce this surah to you, I'll start with the 69th ayah, one ayah before it. In both of these ayahs, Allah addresses the Muslim community. And He said, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, those of you who claim to have iman. We hear this phrase all the time, but actually some of the devices inside this phrase are very powerful. Even when the luhat, the grammarians break up, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, they pay attention to every bit of it. Even the ha, when you say Ya ayyuhal, ha will then be to get your attention. Like, it's as though Allah is saying, believers, those who claim to have iman, pay attention to what I'm saying. It's not a casual statement of Allah to say, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu. And it also indicates that whatever is being said, the only people that would actually really pay attention or benefit would be the people that have iman to begin with, that have faith to begin with. It also implies that whatever is coming, whatever Allah is about to say, if you and I don't pay attention to it, it doesn't really impact our behavior, our attitudes, our thoughts, and our speech much at all, then we're not really qualified as people of iman. Because by saying, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, whatever comes after has become a condition of our faith. It's a demand on our faith to take this matter seriously. So all the ayat of the Qur'an that have Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu in them require a special attention from Muslims. A special attention. It is as though they become manifestations of proof that we truly do believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So He says, لا تكونوا كالذين آذوا موسى. Don't be like those who caused Musa pain عليه السلام. Don't be like those who caused Musa alayhi salam pain. Now, if you think about Musa alayhi salam and who caused him pain, you might think it was Fir'aun and the Mala. It might be those people because they were, you know, the people that Fir'aun declares himself ilah himself. You know, ma'arusulakum min ilahin ghayri. Yaqul ana rabbukum al-a'la. He declares himself master. So maybe hearing those words causes Musa alayhi salam pain. But actually, that's not the case. The Quran is explicit. Al Quran yufassiru ba'dahu ba'dan. You know, so what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَقَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ لِمَا تُؤْذُونَنِي. When Musa alayhi salam said to his own people, the Israelites, people who believed in him, why are you causing me pain? وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. You already know that I am Allah's messenger. You know very, very well that I am the messenger of Allah sent to you. So Allah's messenger, Musa alayhi salam, was complaining to the Muslims of that time, and he was giving them a khutbah saying, you people are causing me pain, not disbelievers. You people are causing me pain. And you already know that I am the messenger of Allah to you. It's not like you don't know. You can expect somebody to make fun of a messenger when they don't believe in that messenger. You can expect someone to disregard the advice of a messenger when they don't believe he's a messenger, when they don't believe he's on the truth. But Musa alayhi salam is shocked at the fact that these people are violating and causing me pain, making fun of my instructions. For instance, when Allah, Messenger Musa alayhi salam told them to slaughter a cow, their first response was not sami'na wa ata'na. When Allah gave them him the commandment, you know, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا حَتَّى لَمْ يَقُلْ أَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. Allah is telling you, no doubt about it, you should slaughter a cow. The first response was not, we listen and we obey. The first response was, أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا. Are you kidding us? You take this as a joke? You think this is funny? That was their first response. You can't be serious. That was their response to Musa alayhi salam. And that summed up, that attitude of not taking the instructions, the advice of a messenger seriously, that is summed up in the phrase, لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ آذَوْا مُوسَى. Don't be like those who caused Musa alayhi salam pain. In other words, that was Bani Israel with Musa alayhi salam, and now it is your turn, the Ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you might end up causing the Rasul pain sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if you have that kind of nonchalant attitude towards the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam. What we're learning is that the pain caused to the messengers is very specific. You and I feel pain when we lose money, when we lose job, when we lose health, when we lose friends, when we lose a house, when we lose things like this in life. That's when we are caused pain. The messengers are caused pain specifically when their own followers are not living up to the idea of being real believers. Then they're caused pain. And that's a crime against messengers. There's a crime against messengers done by non-Muslims. That's the kufr in them. They disbelieve in the messengers. That's a crime against the messengers. But the crime against the messengers that causes them pain alayhi salatu wasalam is when their own followers don't take them seriously. And that is the advice Allah is giving to all of us. لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ آذَوْا مُوسَى. Don't be like those who caused Musa alayhi salam pain. Don't have that kind of an attitude or anything like it with your messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no surprise, it's the same surah. In Surah Al-Ahzab, earlier on in the same surah, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In this surah, in this same surah, the Messenger of Allah is the best possible example for you. Everything in its ideal state, you would look at the case study of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's nothing short, there's nothing worthy of criticism, nothing worthy of questioning. There's no room for you to say, that doesn't make sense to me, or this could have been done better, or this could have been said better. There's no room for you and me for that. So Allah says, فَبَرَّأَهُ اللَّهُ مِمَّا قَالُوا. قَالُوا. Allah separated him, disassociated Musa alayhi salam, absolved him, kept him away from whatever they said. Whatever the Israelites said. Not مِمَّا فَعَلُوا. Not what they did, but what they said. So specifically in these last ayat, Allah is telling us about the harms of saying the wrong thing. فَبَرَّأَهُ اللَّهُ مِمَّا قَالُوا. So you went from إِذَا. وَفِي كَلِمَةِ إِذَا إِبْهَاءٌ. إِذَا causing pain could be anything. Pain could be physical, pain could be emotional. Pain could be any number of things. But then in the same ayah, Allah made it very, very specific. Allah separated, disassociated His messenger, Musa alayhi salam, from anything that they said. And he had great honor before Allah. He had great nobility before Allah. What's the point of mentioning the honor of Musa alayhi salam? Because when people try to say, his own followers accused him of many things. His own followers accused him of and said inappropriate things about him. But that doesn't change who he is. That does not, in the sight of Allah, he's not reduced one bit. And that's the nature of our messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam. Whether you and I show them respect or not, وَكَانُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَجِيهَا. All of them are with Allah, they have honor. They have honor. So we have to step up to the plate. Now this was, don't be like these people. Don't be like the Israelites in their relationship with their messenger. But how should you be? How should you use your tongue? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. This is the other side of the coin. The other side of the picture. The ayah begins again, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. You know, if the kalam is, you could put a ataf in it. So you could say, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ آذَوْا مُوسَى فَبَرَّأَهُ اللَّهُ مِمَّا قَالُوا وَكَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَجِيهًا. And then, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. You could have just gone on like that. But he starts all over again. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those of you that have claimed to have iman, as though in the previous ayah, if you've taken into account that messengers need to be honored, it's like you've renewed your faith. So let me address you all over again. People that claim to have iman, have taqwa of Allah, ittaqullah. وَهَذِهِ خُلَاصَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ بِتَعْبِيرْ وَاحِدٍ. Right? There's one expression, one small phrase. Have taqwa of Allah is the summary of all of Islam. Why do we make salah? It's the taqwa of Allah. Why do we stay away from the haram? It's the taqwa of Allah. Why do we dress the way we do? It's the taqwa of Allah. Why do we say the things we say? It's the taqwa of Allah. The consciousness and the awareness of Allah and protecting ourselves from disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal drives us to do pretty much everything we do in life. We want to protect ourselves from disappointing Allah's commandments. We want to protect ourselves from distancing ourselves from Allah. That's taqwa. So when Allah says, those of you who have iman, protect yourselves from Allah, there's another beautiful logical connection between those two things. Those of you who truly believe, take action to protect yourselves. Take action to protect yourselves. These two things are lazim and malzum. If you don't have belief, if you don't really have faith, then you won't do anything to protect yourself. I give you a simple example that one of the great scholars that, I love this scholar, Shaykh Muhammad Atim al-Nabusi, may Allah keep him safe, because he's in Syria, and may Allah Azza wa Jalla keep all the Muslims safe and end the turmoil in that region of the world. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla take all the innocent victims, the shuhada, and enter them into Jannah and give their families sabr. But, Shaykh Muhammad Atim al-Nabusi, in explaining this ayah, was saying something beautiful. He said, if somebody told you, hey, by the way, there's a scorpion on your shoulder, you turn to them and say, Jazakallahu khairan, brother, for the wonderful advice. I really appreciate that you told me. I know I should take your advice seriously. I know. I'm just not ready mentally yet to take your advice seriously. I'm not there yet, But thanks for the advice. That can only mean you don't understand what a scorpion is. That's the only way you could do that. You don't know what a scorpion is. If you really believe that there's a scorpion on your shoulder, and somebody says, hey, brother, watch out, there's a thing over here. What is it, a scorpion? There will be an immediate action to protect yourself. You do something to protect yourself immediately. You wouldn't say, inshallah in Ramadan, I'll protect myself. You wouldn't do that, right? You wouldn't say, let me take some time, let me think about it. It's good advice, I appreciate the advice, and I know what I'm doing is dangerous. I know that too. But, inshallah, when Allah gives me tawfiq, then I'll move the scorpion. But right now I can keep it on my shoulder. You wouldn't have that attitude. That actually depends on how seriously you believe there's actually a scorpion on the shoulder. So Allah says, if you really have iman, you will try to protect yourself. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. But because taqwa encompasses everything, like I said, taqwa encompasses everything in our faith. There's nothing that we do in our faith that isn't inside taqwa. It's this giant umbrella that covers everything. So Allah mentions one proof of taqwa. One thing from taqwa at a time. It's like taqwa is rain and you got to pay attention to one drop at a time. So the one drop of taqwa in this ayah is وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. That's the one drop of taqwa in this ayah. One proof of, really, if you know that you're protecting yourself from disappointing Allah, from disobeying Allah, from getting Allah angry with you, and distancing yourself from Allah. If you want to protect yourself, one of the ways you can do that is قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Speak, and I'll just give you the rough translation before I dive into the ayah itself, because that's really the purpose of my khutbah, is this phrase, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. He says, speak in a way that is right. It's good speech, good, clear, clarifying speech. Correct speech. Speak, say the right thing. If you want to just do a casual translation, be cautious of Allah and say the right thing. That's a very casual translation of the ayah. Now the word right, يعني, if you look at the dictionary, you look at the word sadid, because qawl is easy Arabic, it's speech. Then the sifa given to qawl is sadid, qawlan, sadidan. And sadid is described usually as sawab min al qawl, the right thing to say. But also in the Quran elsewhere, for example in Surah An-Naba, many of you know Surah An-Naba, وَقَالَ صَوَابًا, that the person will say the right thing. The believer, or any human being on Judgment Day, he doesn't have the ability to say the wrong thing, so the only thing he will say is the right thing. وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. Like in modern Arabic, the difference between right and wrong is صَوَاب وَخَطَأ. Right and wrong, right? But what is the difference between salab and sadid? And why did Allah use the word sadid specifically in this ayah? What are some benefits of this word? You know, Allah asks us in the Quran to reflect on every word. أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُوا الْقَوْلِ. Al-qawl. Al-qawl includes everything. It includes the ayah, it includes the surah, but it even includes the phrase. It even includes the word. It even includes the harf. Every one of those things is a qawl. So we have to pay attention to everything Allah says in His book. So he describes this qawl in the Qur'an as sadid. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time explaining the meanings of this word as per ancient Arabic, and how each of those meanings actually gives us advice about how we should be speaking in life, how we're supposed to be carrying ourselves in speech. So the first meaning of asad, they say إِغْلَاقُ الْخَلَلِ, to fill gaps, وَرَدْمُ الثَلِ, and to, you know, if there's a crack in the wall and you fill it in with plaster, right? Or there's a crack in the brick and you fill the hole in. This is actually the first meaning of sad, to fill in a hole, to fill in a crack. What that implies is we should speak in a way that is completely understood, and there's nothing, no room left for misinterpretation. There's no cracks in our speech. There's no room for somebody to say, did you mean this or did you mean that? Our speech needs to be protected, well articulated. Don't say things that have double meaning, that will create problems later. That people will hear you and they won't understand what you said. Sometimes people do that as a joke. They're saying something as a joke, but the other things are serious. The other completely misunderstood what you said, and huge problems are created because there's a lack of clear communication. There's a gap in your speech. You need to address that gap. Sometimes the way you write, maybe your email skills are really bad, and you mean to praise someone, but it sounds like you hate them. And then when you meet with them, you're like, why are you hating me so much? You're like, I don't hate you. Well, I read your email. No, that's not what I meant at all. That's not what I meant. You totally misunderstood me. This is not qawl sadid. In other words, we have to be careful how we communicate. And we don't leave room for misinterpretation. That's the first benefit of qawl sadid. Then they say, saddahu, aw saddadahu, aslahahu, aw thaqahu. He fixed it. He fortified it. In other words, before we open our mouth, like the Arab poet complains, he wishes, it's a strange poem, he wishes that his throat was a mile long. There's an Arab poet who wishes that his throat was a mile long. He wasn't impressed with zebras or anything, or giraffes or anything, but the reason he wanted a throat a mile long is his heart wants him to say something. And the word leaves his heart, and it goes into his throat, and it's traveling up his throat until his brain realizes those are not good words, they better not come out of my mouth. So let me just call, hit the reverse button and let them come back down before they come out of my mouth. But his throat is too short. So when something comes in his heart, he just says it. As a man, my throat is too short. I wasn't able to stop my words before I pull them back in. That's what he's saying. And the idea here is, from أَصْلَحَهُ وَأُفَقَهُ, to really fix what you're going to say. To really think about how you're going to say something. A lot of times you and I have good things to say, good advice. We have a truthful matter to say. We have it's not incorrect what we're saying, but the way we're going to say is no good. The way we're going to say it actually offends people rather than helping the situation. You know, there is, you know, your mother asks you, even the kids that are your mother asks you, did you do your homework? The answer is yes. But there's a way to say yes. Yeah, I did it, okay. That's not qawl sadid. You didn't fix it. That you didn't fix it, because it caused problems later. It'll cause problems later. It's not just what you say. You have to think about how you're going to communicate it. What are the best words? Yes, Mama, I said it. I'm almost done. Or etc. But find a respectable tone. So this is what we learn in modern media communications, by the way. They say the media is the message. How you communicate is as important as what you're communicating. SubhanAllah. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. They say, وَسَدُّ الْجَبَلُ وَالْحَاجِزُ. Sad is also used for a mountain. Especially a mountain that's a barrier. It gets in the way of things. Literally, sad is used for a barrier. So in that sense, the implication is, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Speak language that is obstructive. It stops. It prevents future problems. It prevents future problems. You're going to say something that will not add to the fight. You will say something that ends the fight. You will say something that makes the peace. And you will use your brain, you will use your mind to think, before I say this, is this going to stop the disagreement? Or is this going to add to the disagreement? Sometimes you have something in your head to say to your wife at home. And there should be some calculation going, should I say this? And when I say this, what's going to happen? The last time I said something like this, what happened? You know, you forget that another time. Like, I should just say it. Stop yourself. It's like there's a mountain before your heart and your mouth. It gets in the way. And also here, Jabal, this hajiz also means you should know when to stop talking. Awlan sadiqan also means learn when to put the brakes on. You're giving somebody advice. You're telling them, brother, I think you prayed too fast. Brother, I think you didn't make the wudu properly. So, don't give the guy a 45-minute lecture. You should know when to stop. Okay, I got it. You know? You're upset with your son. You're upset for something. He took the car without permission. He didn't clean his room. Something. Now, you could tell him, or you could tell him for 2 hours. You could. But you need to know when to stop. When is enough? When do you stop repeating yourself 100 times? Because if you yell and scream and repeat and repeat and repeat, it stops having an effect. He can't even hear you anymore. Then the next time, until you say it 200 times, he can't even hear it once. You're only putting yourself in more trouble. It's so incredible that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced this sin in his life. One of his sunnah is that when he was upset, alayhi salatu wasalam, he stopped talking. It's remarkable. When we're upset, we talk a lot. When he was upset, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would stop talking and the sahaba would realize something is wrong. Please tell us what's wrong. They would just realize that. This was him practicing, he just say a little, and he just stopped. Nothing more. And that itself means there's something up. Something's not right. This is qawl sadida. Then, of course, you know, there's a famous piece of poetry which uses the word sad. It's commonly confused with another word. They say, وَعَلِّمُهُ الرِّمَايَةَ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ. And the incorrect version is, فَلَمَّا اشْتَدَّ سَاعِدُهُ رَمَانِ. It's actually, فَلَمَّا اسْتَدَّ. هَذَا أَفْصَحْ. فَلَمَّا اسْتَدَّ سَاعِدُهُ رَمَانِ. There's a poem about, you know, some guy who taught his nephew how to shoot the arrow. Right? So I used to teach him archery every single day. And finally, when his arm became straight and he could shoot the target perfectly, he shot me. That's what he says. He's complaining, man, I taught you how to shoot and you shoot me now. You know? But istadda is used. The reason I brought it up is the same origin as sadid. What does that mean? The word speech that has isaba, it hits the target. It hits the target. Actually, even a qaws, a bow. You know, the famous archers that were like snipers back in the day, they never missed their target. They used to nickname their bow sad. They used to nickname it sad. Why? Because it always hits the target. So speech that hits the target. What is the purpose of your speech? Why are you opening your mouth? What good will come out of the words you're saying? Who are you saying them to? And why are you saying them? And if your answer to that is, I'm just saying. That means you have no direction in your speech. There needs to be a hadaf. There needs to be a ghaya. There needs to be a goal for why you and I speak. And if we don't have a goal, فَلْيَصْمُتْ. Let him be quiet. You know, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا لِيَصْمُتْ. Let him say something good or let him be quiet. If you have a particular target, then speak. And if you have a target in mind, then all of the words you and I are going to use, the examples we're going to give, the tone we're going to use, all of it will be taken into consideration because there's a goal in front of you. If the goal in front of you, for example, if my goal is to advise my brother, my older brother, I know he's older than me. So if I try to give him advice, the first thing he's going to think is, who are you? I used to change your diaper, now you're going to give me advice?
I can't give him advice because he's older. Now I have to find, to hit that target, because I really need to give him this advice. I need to find a loving way, a respectful way, a way doesn't make him feel like, who are you to tell me? I need to find some intelligent way to give him this advice so it hits the target. So it actually gets, so he doesn't become defensive in response. Because if he becomes defensive and offended, I miss my target. That's not why I was telling him. That's not why I was telling him. Correcting each other is one common area in which we don't use qawl sadeed. We have to use a lot of wisdom when we correct each other, especially in a family. Especially in a family. And especially, of course, between husband and wife. Because that's where most quarrels happen, right? Most things go wrong inside the house between husband and wife. He says things in a mean way, she says things in a mean way. Qawl sadeed is not just when you're giving a khutbah or you're teaching someone deen. Qawl sadeed is everywhere in life. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ You know, بِكُلِّ أَوْضَاعِ الْحَيَاةِ Every situation of life. Every situation of life. There's a way you can tell your wife the food is not salty enough. There's a way you can tell her. And there's a way you can start a fight. You can do that too. The multiple choice option is in your head. Allah says, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا Be targeted, be thoughtful, be intelligent in the way that you speak. Then he says, Sidad, they say Sidadul Qarura, Samamuha. They use the word Sidad as the lid of a bottle. The lid of a bottle is also called Sidad. Now what does the lid of a bottle do? It's the end of it. Now you can't, nothing more can come out. It's done. The implication for that on our speech is that when you say something, it's done. You gave your word. You don't go back on it now. It's tight, it's closed. So you don't issue a policy and then next day a new policy. You don't give an instruction, next day another instruction. You don't say we're going to go, then we're not going to go. If you give your word, and if you say something, be consistent and follow through. Following through, like nobody thinks, oh, he's saying this today, but I know tomorrow he's going to change his mind, I know him. He forgets what he said yesterday. There's no, the lid isn't on it. Something keeps leaking out. Something else is always there. No. Be consistent and follow through in what you and I say. That's part of qawl sadeed. Say things the way you mean them. Think them through. Don't rush to say something and, you know, give an instruction or give, you know, say this is what you're going to do if you haven't thought about it. You know, وَإِلَّا فَقُلْ لَا لَكَ فَقُلْ سَرْ تَسْتَرِحْ وَتُرِحْ مِنْ You know, if you can't do something, just say I can't do it. You'll put yourself at ease, you'll put others at ease. I come from a culture in Pakistan where a lot of people, they talk to each other and they say yes, تَكَنُّفًا. They just out of respect, جي بِكُلْ بِكُلْ Yes, yes. Even if he means absolutely not, he'll say, oh, hold me back. Gandhi Koi. It's done. No big deal. That's not qawl sadeed. If you can't do it, don't say inshallah. Don't blame Allah for your laziness. Don't put Allah in that. You know, people use inshallah like the opposite of qawl sadeed now. When you really don't think you're going to do something, you just throw it in inshallah. Are you coming to the convention, brother? Hey, inshallah. No, I don't think I am. I might, but I'm not sure. Don't just say yes. Don't just say no. If you're not sure about it, say you're not sure. And a lot of times people just want you to say something so they can pressure you later. Don't fall into that. Stick to your word. Be upright with the words that you use. Now, they say, subhanAllah, just the wisdom of just using this word. They say, Sidad bin Aish. يعني ما تسد بهم حاجة. This word is used for what fills the need. Please listen to this part carefully. Sadeed is a word that fulfills a need. That fills a need. Sometimes your daughter needs to hear from you that you're proud of her, but you never say it. Sometimes your wife needs to hear from you that she's beautiful, but you never say it. Sometimes your husband needs to hear from you, sister, that you respect him, but you never say it. You say to yourself, oh, they know. They know. They know. They don't know. Nobody knows. Saying good things means a lot. Just telling your son you love him. When was the last time you said it? Just give him a hug and you said it, you love him. You love him. You didn't just say, I can't believe you're so stupid. Why can't you get a real job? You're such a disappointment. Why are you taking so long in college? Why did you change your major? Instead, just pull him over one day and just say you love him. He doesn't know anymore. He doesn't think you do. Sometimes people need to hear things. And you fulfill that need with sadeed. You have to be sensitive to what people need to hear from you. You have to, if you're an employer,
Of course, the relationship between you and your employees is one of you hired them, they have to do work. But sometimes they need to hear some encouragement. They need to hear they did a good job. And you need to give them that. And this is all, it fills a void. It fills a void. This is a need that human beings have. And it's not just about giving compliments and reassurances and words of love, but it's also about advice. Sometimes you need to give your friend advice. What he's doing is wrong. What your father is doing is wrong. What your in-laws are doing is wrong. Someone is wrong. And you're like, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to cause any problems, you know. They already hate me as it is. If I say something, forget it. No, if they need to hear this beautiful ayah of the Quran, and make Melamics people of Qawl Sadeed that can carry the word of Islam in all of our behaviors and all of our lives. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Quran al-Hakim wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayat wa al-Hakim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا